Okay, please join me in welcoming our main speaker, Cindy G. from PASIS.
15.
Hi, I'm Cindy. I am an alcoholic. I am so honored to be here and to be asked to come up here and to be of service. And welcome to all the newcomers and the out-of-towners. It's just so wonderful to be opened again with all this. I'll qualify myself and then I'll talk more about recovery. I started at the ripe old age of 15. I started drinking and enjoying life, you know, and like we all do. And it continued on. And then I went, I was, from the get-go, I was a blackout, pass-out, pee-the-bed drinker. That's how I drank. And I never tried to control it, nor did I ever want to try and control it. My goal was to get as drunk as possible. When that phenomenon of craving kicked in, there was no turning back. And once that kicked in, I had no clue how the night was going to end. In the 80s, I ended up getting 4 drunk drivings. One of them landed me in Sybil Brand. I grew up in Sunland, Tahunga. And one of them landed me in Sybil Brand, which is in downtown Los Angeles. And oh boy. and then I got transferred to Stockton, which is a pretty heavy little jail there. I got my court card signed and that was pretty much it. And none of them got me sober. None of that got me sober. I went through 4 marriages. I'm looking for my fifth. No. Nothing wrong with me now. I lost homes. I did everything we all do, you know, and total cars. And one morning, the night before, if you had told me, I became a non-functional alcoholic. I had 2 daughters, and they were always with me, and I worked as hard as I could. I became a non-functional alcoholic. I no longer could work. I no longer could even make it to the bars because that's what I did. I partied. I partied hard. I loved getting on the bar and just making a fool of myself anytime I could. And I couldn't do that anymore. That time was over. I came to that morning, one morning, 26 years ago. And I had that incomprehensible demoralization. My daughter stayed home with me and she reminded me of Alcoholics Anonymous. She is in this program now. She reminded me and I thought, yeah. She was 13 years old and I thought, yeah. And I started looking for it. I lived in Aurora Grande. And we went up and down Grand. We finally found the strawberry patch. And we went down this long driveway, you know, and we that's where I started. I don't know, I'm sure you guys know Judy, Johnny O, you know, they were all there, all of them. And they welcomed me with open arms. And Gail Stanley was my sponsor. I became her bimbo after 5 years. You got to go 5 years before you could become Gail Stanley's bimbo. And that's the truth. She wouldn't take you in. She wouldn't even acknowledge you, you know. But she was my grand sponsor, so she helped me. She helped me a lot. She really was a big part of my sobriety. I relocated. I ended up getting 13 years. I relocated up to Paso Robles. I got an additional 2 years, so I ended up getting 15 years. And I didn't hook in to the fellowship. I found the meeting. I couldn't hook in. It wasn't my home group, you know. It just wasn't my home group. And it just, I needed to keep going back so everybody would get to know me, and, you know, but I didn't do that. And I met my fourth husband by then, and he was in the program also, supposedly. And I threw my back out, and he introduced me. I wasn't a big drug person in the 80s. I did cocaine, but not a big drug person. I had a healthy fear of drugs. So he introduced me to this stuff, you know, the vitamin and all this stuff. And I took a couple, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you guys, I'm going to go tell all the people in AA, we don't need to drink. This is it. This is all we need. You know, we just take a few of these men. We can go everywhere. We don't smell like alcohol. This is the best thing. And you could pretty much stay vertical, you know? And I thought, this is cool. And, you know, I went ahead and I stole a couple more of his, and I extremely naive, and I got my own prescription, and I kind of played around with that for a few months, and I loved it. And then he told me, he goes, you know, we weren't going to meetings, and he goes, you know, you broke your sobriety. And I said, no, I didn't. I didn't drink. And he goes, you took my prescription meds and abused them. And I'm like, oh, God. So I kicked him to the curb. And then I proceeded to drink. I thought, well, heck, if I lost my sobriety, I might as well drink. I did. I drank, and I got a heck of a hangover. I can't tell you enough how it progresses and how bad it gets. And so anyways, a few years went by. I drank a few times, got sober again, and then all of a sudden those little dry goods came up, and I abused them, and I abused them, and I went on, and I abused them, and I went on, and, you know, I got multiple years with not drinking, but I was still doing the dry goods, and I wasn't hooking into meetings. I never went a month without a meeting, but I wasn't going back. I wasn't hooking in maybe for a week, you know, and I'd leave, and then I got in with a group of women. I lived up at Heritage Ranch. I do not recommend it for any of us. I lived up there, and I got in with a group of women that were heavy drinkers, and they were married, you know, and they just welcomed me. I was single, and I, you know, I was doing a little bit of dry goods, you know, but I wasn't going to drink with them. There's just no way. I'm not going to drink because I know where it'll go. So then, after a while, we'd go camping together and stuff, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm kind of mature now. I think I have never in my life tried to control this drinking ever. And I thought, I'm kind of mature now. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to try and control this stuff, you know? So I did. I bought a couple. I controlled it. Whatever. And then I'd go the next night. I'd buy a bottle of wine. I'd get pretty wasted. And then I'd get wobbly, and I'm like, I don't want to do that, because these were women. They had, you know, they had $300,000 RVs, you know, and I'm in my little RV, you know, following them around, and it was fun. But then I wasn't. I was trying to control it, trying as hard as I possibly can, and all of a sudden, you know, it was getting. I was getting more and more, and I got so drunk, and then I would wake up with this horrific hangover, like nobody's business. I lay in bed for 3 days. I had hangovers always, but nothing. This stuff progresses. This is, and plus I'm old, you know? And it just took me out. And after that, I went on that for about 8 months. I was trying to get in. I was trying to get back in, you guys, but I couldn't get back in. I wanted so badly to get back in, but I was hanging on to those times where it was, you know, it was a lot of fun. And those fun times became less and less, you know, the story, and pretty soon they weren't anymore. And one night I drank so hard, I fell on my head, because that's what happens when we get old. And I fell on my head and I hit it so hard that within 2 days the blood started coming down and pools of blood. And then I woke up at the next morning with a huge lump, went to bed with a concussion, I know. And I woke up and I thought, I just didn't control it last night, you know? I'm going to control it tonight. It's just such a sick disease, you know? It's just out to get you. So we went, eight of us, women, went to Costa Rica. And boy, did we have fun. And that last night, I woke up with that, again, with that incomprehensible demoralization. I got home, and God willing, that was my last drink. I got home, I knew I had to change everything. I had to cut ties, I had to change everything. And that's a whole other story. God was so involved with that. And I was able to change everything. And I got out of Heritage Ranch. That was a biggie. So then I got back to the meetings. I just got completely back to the meetings. I grabbed my sponsor. I did my steps. I got right into service. As soon as I had, they let me become a secretary. I had 60 days, you know, and I want to be a secretary. So I was a secretary right away. I was just right in the middle of it. Always service, service, service. That was the most important thing to me. And now I applied for H&I work, and I'm just hoping that they'll let me back in there. And that they'll let me out. That'll be great. I'll have to plug my ears when those doors clang, you know, it's a little rough. But I'm anxious to do that and to be of service in any way I can. So when Lucas invited me to do this, I didn't think twice, even though, you know, I have a little fear of this. And but I said yes. And I thought, you know what, just worry about it the day of. Don't worry about it now. Just worry about the day of. This is my story. The only thing I had to do was condense it, you know. And it's my story, so it's going to stay the same, you know. So it's not like I have to remember. Well, I have to have the bullet points because I'm 65 and my brain's kind of ill. I highly recommend to get in the middle of the herd, like right in the middle of the herd with the winners, the ones who walk the talk. That's so important. There are, if you get in with the wrong ones, you know, it's a real slippery slope and things can go south in a minute. And, you know, there's, this is women and men. There's a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing, you know, so you really got to watch out. And but listen to them and make sure they walk the talk. And I've seen many girls go back out and because of that. And it's a do or die. This is a do or die program. I know that. I don't know if I have another drunk in me. I don't know where I'll end up. I fall on my head a lot because I'm older, and it isn't up because I'm top heavy. It's because I fall on my head, you know? somebody told me once about the suggestion. Oh, and the promises. Have you read that book? The promises are just unbelievable. The promises have just come to me. All I've done is became willing to go to any lengths and be of service and do what I'm doing and stay in constant contact with my higher power and stay in the book I love Joe and Charlie. They make it real easy, and they're fun to listen to. But somebody suggested something to me. He said, you know, a suggestion, when we make suggestions, it's kind of the same as putting a parachute on before you jump. Thank you.
Another round of applause, please.